You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That is the Phoenix Foundation with This Charming Van. 20 years ago, Horsepower came out. We have got Luke and Sam from Phoenix Foundation on the line. Morena, Kodua, how are you both?
Morena, great.
What a massive anniversary to be celebrating. It must feel a little bit surreal, 20 years of that excellent record. How do you guys feel looking, I guess, down the barrel of time at that album that really, I guess, kicked you into the mainstream consciousness of music in Aotearoa?
Yeah, well, the middle stream consciousness, the BFM stream. It was, well, I tell you what, that was definitely, like that song you just played, that was a big step for us because BFM played it a lot.
Woohoo!
And all of a sudden we could go to Auckland and get like 100 people at the King's Arms or something, and that was kind of life-changing, being able to chuck our gear in a van and go and play a gig in Auckland was very, very exciting at the time. That was, you know, the biggest thing in our lives.
pretty special as well. I was just reading, you know, a bit of the lore about when this record came out. I think it did win Best Album at the BNETs that year as well.
Did it?
It did.
Well, I think it won. Well,
according to my piece of paper, it did. But you know, someone can fact check me on that for sure.
I don't know, because in my memory of our 20 years is that we're always up. We've been up for lots of awards and we've never won them. That's the way I look. When I look back on my life, that's what I like to focus on.
Nice.
I think we won Best Unreleased Song that Ooh. Year for like an independent little track. And I don't know if we won Best Album, but it was nominated for Best Album at the BNETs and at the, what were the TUIs at the time? I guess they're called the VM.
The NZMVMA things now, the New yeah, Zealand Music like, Awards.
Sounds like where you go to get your warrant checked for your car.
Yeah. Musical warrant of fitness.
Yeah, but those BNET Awards that, back in the day, they were amazing.
Were those the Music Awards that Ben Lummis won Best Christian album? And I think Havoc and Newsboy were presenting it. And they were like, well, that opens the door for all the other religions next year. And I think you, Sam, maybe you booed Ben Lummis.
Oh, did I? No. I was probably drunk. Well,
I'm just imagining the person who thought it would be good to put Havoc and Newsboy as the presenters of the Best Christian Album Award is quite a good gag, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a time, 2003, eh? It is quite a decade, a couple of decades to be celebrating here. You must be, obviously, when you do hit a sort of milestone like a 20-year anniversary, it must make you a little bit thoughtful, a little bit reflective. Why were you sort of interested in, I guess, marking this record's birthday or sort of celebrating this point in time?
Well, I think, honestly, one of the main reasons we were interested in doing it was because at the time that it came out, it was so expensive to put things out on vinyl. Mm. And I think for, you know, the sort of fan base we've built up over the years, vinyl was kind of one of the main ways our fans listen to music. It just seems to be like, well, for a lot of bands, it's kind of a real big part of your kind of work. And so we really wanted to... as well as celebrating the album, celebrating 20 years and 20 years of the band, really, we wanted to have it available on vinyl for the first time because it's so much easier now, especially with like Holiday Records printing vinyl in New Zealand.
It's a very nice thing, eh? And there's something so special about being able to hold a record. I mean, you can do it with a CD as well, but having the big, beautiful gatefold of a you know, piece of vinyl is very satisfying.
I think so, yeah. It feels proper. It's always felt proper to me. And, yeah, I don't know. It's a chance to kind of, like, to look back on things and stuff and see how far we've moved forward and what things that we were doing, you know, we were doing back then that were actually pretty good and that we've probably dismissed through the years. And, certainly. You go, Luke.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's a deep trip. Because some of that, like, it sounds like some of that shit sounds like a different person to me. And I hadn't listened to Horsepower in a really long time. Mm. And I think I had kind of dismissed it. But, like, there's definitely some, like, that This Charming Van that's sort of actually recorded on my digital 8-track. And mixed inside the digital 8-track that I think had no EQs or compressors or anything.
Wow.
And so it's full bedroom vibe, which is actually something that, you know, we've all really loved and haven't gone back to in a long time, a more humble, quiet, and possibly a lot more stoned sort of a recording experience.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of weird little things that we've done. Like in This Charming Van, you can hear me and Luke were working on it as a demo on his 8-track, and then we were like, this is sounding pretty good. And then I think Conrad arrived at the studio, and we were like, Con, check this out, what we're working on. And he was like, I'll play some piano on it. And then he did like two takes, and the second take was really good. And it gets to about four bars from the end of the song. And then you hear a knock at the door, and he stops playing the piano and gets up and goes and lets someone in the door. And so then we just recorded like a little organ line from that point and left in the sound of the person arriving at the studio.
That's so great.
And then it's got like strange religious radio that we found this like these reels of religious radio stations from like the early 80s or something, and we recorded that through like tape delays and put that all through the song. And you can hear, you know, if you listen carefully, you can hear people talking very strangely in the background.
The very last thing you hear in the song, I actually quite like the quote is, we weren't trying to be friendly, we were trying to be friends.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's quite good. I like that.
Yeah, it is.
I think there's something that, I mean, this album holds a really special place in a lot of people's hearts, and it is that interesting thing of a lot changes in 20 years. Is there stuff that you've been surprised by how much it still feels like part of what you're doing as a group at the moment? Is there sort of like ideas you can trace back to the very beginning through this record?
I would say the track St. Kevin is still very relevant to what we do today, which is like kind of trying to create a cinematic kind of atmosphere, and the synths and the sort of weird dynamics of it. I think that does really relate to stuff that we've done on every album since. And there's tracks on it which I'd completely forgotten about. There's one called Lambs, which I hadn't thought about that song in such a long time. And then we were listening to the test pressing of the vinyl the other night, and it sounds fantastic, and it's a very unusual song, and the lyrics are really nice, and it's kind of got a good message. And it was like, oh, this is actually like, this is really good. This doesn't make me feel that icky nostalgic embarrassment that all musicians feel about their old music. It was a nice surprise to kind of hear the unusual things we were trying to do, and how that you know, still holds up.
You're obviously going to be taking this record for a live spin as well. Very much looking forward to the tour that you're going to be heading off on up here in Tāmaki Makaurau on the 24th of November at the mighty Hollywood Avondale. How's the sort of practice going for that? Have you guys been playing many of these songs, you know, prior to celebrating the record, or is it a bit of, you know, trying to remember how bits go and parts fit together when you're playing it live?
Yeah,
we haven't played most of those songs. We haven't played in many, 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 many years. Mm. And I'm actually like just about to be a full nerd and do a spreadsheet and listen to the album and write out all the different things that I can hear, basically. Yeah.
That's so good. I love the nerd spreadsheet approach to heading off on tour.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got members who live in Auckland and stuff. We've kind of got to be quiet. We've got to be focused. We've got to be focused and brutal at our practices. There's going to be some challenges because we want to do the album quite honestly, it's not the right to the way that it is on the album. So like, Let Me Die a Woman is going to be interesting. I think we'll probably just have to play with a backing track of drum machines for that, because I don't know how else we'd do that. But the real challenge on the album, which I'm really looking forward to, is Bruiser Miami 4000, which is just a fully fucked up studio destruction of what was essentially a bit of a kind of a quote-unquote punky track that we recorded, and we thought that it was pretty bad because we just weren't rocking hard enough. So we just destroyed the track in the studio, and that is going to be a mighty but fun challenge, I reckon.
I think that sounds amazing to me. Some of the weird cuts and what we did, like the things we did using the digital recording process, were just so wacky, because in a lot of ways that digital recording that full just being able to look at what you're recording and move things around, which just seems so normal today, was actually still fairly new technology at that point. So for us to just kind of like chop up drums and reverse them and cut in and out of things in quite a brutal way, just was everything. Every time we did that, it just sounded surprising to us. We didn't have a lot of resources, but we had Pro Tools by that stage. By the beginning of recording this album, we didn't have any access to Pro Tools. By the end of the album, we did. So it was, you know, it was a journey through technology in a way.
I'm very excited to see this come to life on stage. As we said, 24th of November up here in Auckland at the Hollywood. You've got Jess Cornelius heading out on tour with you, which is really special as well, coming back over from LA.
Yeah, that's great.
That's going to be really cool. And you've also got Anita Motta, who'll be jumping up on stage as well, which is a very special guest to have part of the crew as well. Congrats on 20 years of Horsepower. Really looking forward to the vinyl and the show. Thanks so much, Sam and Luke, for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
You're so welcome. This is Let Me Die a Woman by the Phoenix Foundation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.